He's so delighted.
Ah, what is that? Oh, that's my iPad. Whoa.
God, Drew,
are you
just
playing
that.
The YouTube stream on your...
A little quick on the trigger there, pal.
Guys, Kai called the radio show and he forgot to turn the radio down. Hello, everyone.
That's exactly what happened. Oh, my God. I'm a little embarrassed.
Amazing. I'm Molly Wood.
I'm a little
Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we're, you know, the smartness is relative. It is Happy Hour Friday, or Economics on Tap, as we like to call it around here.
Oh, man, we do. We got the live stream up, as you might have heard, as we started the pod. Mm-hmm. For those of you on YouTube, we appreciate it. Thank you for joining us. We'll be doing the news. We'll be doing a little half full, half empty. And I will be drinking a beer. What are you drinking?
I am having not a YouTube. I was trying to find our YouTube guy who's here for the first time, who listens every day and just finally made it. I think it was Matthew. Really? Oh, maybe Michael? I know, like, I'm sorry, it went by so fast. Anyway, I'm having a little eggnog and bourbon situation, which, and I sprinkled a little nutmeg on top. I'm going to see if I can hold it up to this so you can see. Yeah, there's a little nutmeg. And I have to say, it is both seasonal and delicious.
Yeah, I'm a big eggnog guy. It's a little early in the season, I think, but we're getting there.
It's really not. You know, it feels like it is, but... Hanukkah started yesterday, friends. Like, we already had to do the Hanukkah party on December 10th, of all things.
That's true.
Woo, that came fat. Let me just say, that one sneaked up on us. We have a little, you know, there's Elf on the Shelf. We have Mensch on a Bench, who moves all around the house. And so then yesterday I put Mensch on a Bench out in front of my son's room, and he opened the door and was like, ah! I nailed it. Nailed it. Anyway, it's eggnog season.
Nicely done. Yeah, no, I'm going to get some eggnog. That's an excellent idea. It's a repeat offender, Beechwood Citraholic IPA. Always delicious. Only brought one, but it's a big can, so it should do me. It should do me.
You should be okay. Matthew Rilly. Yay! What? Welcome.
Oh, there you go.
That's the guy. He listens every day, and he's never made it to a live stream until today. And YouTube's being very nice to him. It's lovely.
Just hold on. John Miller, just hold your doggone patooties. No, I will not do PSL, but eggnog is okay. Yes. Just saying that. That's all I'm saying.
Dude, get the eggnog situation. Put the bourbon in it. Yeah. It is just,
that's such
really,
a good idea. Okay. All right. I might do that later. I'm going to have to send one of my driving children out for some eggnog. Okay.
Highly recommend.
All right. So, enough with the preamble. Okay. Can we begin? Because I got a lot of stuff I got to move through here. I got three items.
Dude, you guys, Kai has like a whole paragraph. It's amazing.
I have three
Let's
items bulleted. I should say just in advance, I have no Make Me Smile. I was not feeling any smileage today. So,
I
am, 4:45 in the morning LA time, waking up, turning on the local radio station to tune in to One Molly Wood on Marketplace Tech. Awesome interview this morning about Microsoft in antitrust land, much as Facebook is in antitrust land. And the woman said something really interesting that I would like you to expound upon for about a minute and a half. And that is that the antitrust thing that Microsoft went through in the 90s when the government tried to break it up changed that company. And given all the conversations you and I have had about Facebook and how it continues to be arrogant and unaware and just not clued in, do you think this is going to change Facebook?
I really do. And that's actually partly why we called this woman Margaret O'Meara specifically, because she wrote this whole book that's sort of a history of Silicon Valley, talks about the way that the Microsoft case changed that company. You know, obviously, Microsoft is still very huge and dominant today. But there are a couple things of note. One, Microsoft during that period had to really tone it down. I mean, here's a company that was going out buying every other company willy-nilly, doing whatever it wanted, being totally aggressive. She points out they basically had no lobbying operation whatsoever, unlike Facebook today, but no sense that anything could ever come along and disrupt its just like rampage through capitalism. And it was a rude awakening. It caused them to miss competitors, to not be able to buy competitors that were up and coming that they might have otherwise bought because they were under such scrutiny, one of which, it is said, was Google. And that it allowed that the kind of work that Microsoft had to do on this case for 10 years allowed others to come in and kind of like grow under the canopy, little green shoots of other companies to be born.
Yeah. Interesting. So sorry, a follow-up if I might. Microsoft was arrogant back in the day, right? And then they got their tuchuses whacked a little bit. Facebook is nothing if not arrogant. Do you suppose this is going to take them down a notch or two on the arrogance scale?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think it's hard to imagine that will happen, and it might take a decade, right? Microsoft got sued in the late 90s. Yeah. Bill Gates was out by like 2000. But yes, when the full force and power of almost every American state, the FTC, Europe, all of Europe is coming at you, right? And there's likely to be regulation headed there. The other thing she said is every company eventually becomes a dinosaur, and that is just true. There is a life cycle for companies. It was never going to last
that
forever.
That hit home in more ways than one, let me just tell you. Okay, all right, excellent. Thank you. I appreciate that.
But yeah.
Yeah. It was good. Yeah, I don't know. And there's a long version of that cut on the podcast, right? On the Marketplace Tech podcast?
Yes, and bonus audio, because at one point during the interview, her daughter started playing the flute, and then she was like, "Ooh, I got to stop her." And I was like, "Well, we can't actually hear the flute. It's no big deal." But she said, the problem is that the daughter starts playing the flute, and then the dog starts howling along. And then she was nice enough to record that for us, and it's in the podcast, and it is amazing.
Yeah.
I may have said, you're going to see comments to this effect in the YouTube, because I said, I don't know why they give me a microphone and a radio show, but I said that audio made me laugh so hard that a little pee came out. That's in the podcast today. Because I'm a grown-up.
Oh, my God.
If you see those comments on Twitter, I'm blushing now because I can't believe I said it live. But if you see those comments on Twitter,
oh, my goodness.
That's what that's about. Okay, what else you got? Let's keep going.
Right. Okay.
Bullet point number two.
Number two. I just want to point this out because I've gotten a lot of DMs and a lot of questions about this, and it's about dependent care flexible spending accounts for this year in which you haven't spent a lot of money on dependent care because you've been home with your kids. So really quickly, you can have a flexible spending account. You can set aside several thousand dollars pre-tax to pay for those things, but if you don't use it, then you lose it, and in point of fact, your employer gets that money, which seemed unjust to me anyway. I just want to point out it's crazy, right? I just want to point out that there's a piece in the Wall Street Journal today talking about what you can do, perhaps, to make things easier for you if this is your situation. You can defer a lot of that unclaimed money to March of 2021, so certainly roll it over. Go to your employer and ask them to make exceptions. And then also know that the Democrats did have in the HEROES Act, which passed the House but not the Senate, a provision to let this roll over into the next year. So piece in the journal today. We'll have it on the show page. Just read that. It's really interesting.
These are the kind of DMs you get? Fascinating.
Yeah. Oh, I get all kinds of DMs. All kinds of DMs.
Huh.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was nice of you.
Sorry,
good to know.
Let me just briefly scroll to my DMs, and I will read you one I just got today. Honestly, this is true. Came this afternoon.
Okay.
I need to set up a meeting with Mark Zuckerberg considering a proposal for one of his businesses. Please do not reply on Twitter and instead private message me. Thank you. I mean, I love my Twitter feed. That's why I have my DMs open. Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Item number three for me. I just thought this was interesting. Dave Wasserman, he covers politics The Cook Political Report. He tweeted today and pointed out that it is a done deal. All 50 states and the District of Columbia have certified their 2020 election results. Joe Biden got 81.2 million votes, 51.3. Donald Trump, 74.2 million votes, 46.9. Here's the really interesting part. A 2.4 margin swing against Donald Trump versus 2016 and a 15.9% increase, almost 16% increase in votes cast in this country. And I think that's a good thing. Anyway, that was just my little political science factoid of the day.
Can I do one more? Yeah, please.
Are you going to do it? You're going to do it. Go ahead. No, you're going to do it. Go ahead. We're going to do
the
same thing.
Is it the breaking news that we think it is?
I hear now. Sorry. Waiting from the control room. Here it comes. Go ahead. Yeah, you.
Yeah, I think this is it. The U.S. Supreme Court, as of the moment that we are recording this, has rejected Texas's unprecedented, I'm reading from BuzzFeed, because that's the first one that came up, unprecedented last-ditch effort to challenge President-elect Joe Biden's win in Pennsylvania. As you know, this is the thing that we have sort of been talking about all week long, where there was this petition to the Supreme Court that was banana pants. There's literally no other word for it. And yet, 17 states' attorney general and generals and 126 Republican members of Congress filed amicus briefs in favor of it, which is astonishing because it was legally marshmallow.
So here's the quote. Erica put this in the breaking news Slack channel. Here's the quote, actually from the order from the Supreme Court. The motion is dismissed. Is denied, rather, for lack of standing under Article 3 of the Constitution. Texas has not demonstrated a judicially cognizable interest in the manner in which another state conducts its elections. All other pending motions are dismissed as moot. Sorry, the was me, but holy cow.
Yeah, which is amazing.
Amazing.
But there are a bunch of other amazing things, and this actually gets to my news item that I brought today. Justices Alito and Thomas said that they would not have dismissed the case on these grounds. They said they don't believe that they maybe wouldn't have granted any other relief, says Justice Thomas. Mm-hmm. I would grant the motion to file the bill of complaint, but would not grant other relief. So, like, I don't agree with your banana pants thing, but I think maybe the Supreme Court could have heard it. Which is itself
That's exactly right.
Astonishing.
Let's just talk about what this says
vis-a-vis the Constitution. Because the Constitution guarantees each individual state the right to run its own elections. What Texas said in its filing, in addition to a bunch of other insane things, like according to math, there's a 1 in quadrillion chance that Biden actually won these four states. I'm not joking.
That's almost a quote. It's literally a quote. It says 1 in quadrillion, yes.
Quadrillion.
Yes.
What Texas tried to do was say, we don't agree with these election results because we don't agree with the methods by which these four swing states conducted their elections. Therefore, all of those elections and the votes that were cast should be thrown out. And President Trump should be reinstalled as president. It doesn't even call for like a do-over, of course. It's just like, these don't count. Throw them away. Trump stays president. We win. It's unconstitutional on its face. There has never been any proof that any of these states did anything wrong or that there was fraud. In fact, no case before, even by the Trump administration, actually alleged fraud. They just said, like, we don't like the way that how far away our people had to stand in the vote counting rooms, or we don't think that there should have been, you know, signature laws or whatever. So it would be as though California sued some other state saying, we don't like your gun laws, right? It is utterly contrary to the spirit of the Constitution and the federalist nature of this country. And I'm frankly astonished that any of the judges would have responded to it. And the SCOTUS blog, this was my original item, which is like a nonpartisan blog that just covers Supreme Court stuff. Mm-hmm.
Which is excellent, by the way. Excellent.
Which is excellent, utterly without leaning or opinion. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wrote its first ever editorial in its like 200 and some year. I mean, I don't think there's been the blog forever. But they wrote their first ever editorial in which the publisher said, Tom Goldstein, not only should this be denied by the Supreme Court, but it should be decimated. There should be sanctions. Like, the Supreme Court is the only body in America right now that might be in a position to actually tell the truth, end this farce once and for all, and declare it for the illegitimate action that it is.
I have no Make Me Smile, so let's take a brief Make Me Smile interlude before we get to Half Full, Half Empty, shall we?
Let's. This is, again, very brief and once again a visual joke and once again comes from Rex Chapman. It's this kind of...
Is this the sliding lady?
It's the sliding lady. And it's such an amazing...
I love it.
So it's like video from some crazy town. I think maybe Russia, Chernobyl.
I think it's Russia,
Chernobyl.
Yeah, I think it's Russia.
where it's so icy that people are just sort of like skateboarding down on their feet on this sidewalk. And then this poor woman comes along in a backpack and just tries to make it up the incline of the sidewalk.
Everybody's sliding down the sidewalk.
Kiev,
and this poor woman's trying to go up.
Somehow everyone in YouTube knows this. They're like, it's Kiev. It's Ukraine. So it's Ukraine. And she literally has to crawl away and then slides back down. I mean, it's like a cartoon. And everyone just immediately saw it for the metaphor that it is. And it made its way all the way around Twitter today. Me on deadline, me trying to write a lead, just every attempt at success that anyone has had in the course of 2020. Like, this backpack lady is all of us.
Yeah, for sure. 100%.
She is all of us.
Yes. Absolutely. Wow. Absolutely.
All right. And that's it. Watch it and cry, laugh.
Yes. Okay, Drew Jostad, it is up to you. The new segment we're doing here called Half Full, Half Empty. We'll run through some topics and trends. We will tell you our predictions, how we're feeling about it. It's really just me and Molly responding to Drew, and Drew's in charge on this one. So
I know. Hit it, yo. So, all right, Drew, go.
Are you half full or half empty on the Facebook antitrust suit?
Well, I'm full, way full. I'm like four-fifths full.
It's a big deal. It's a super big deal. Yeah. Yep. I think it's going to lead to a lot of change, even though it's going to take a while for it to show up.
The best onion I saw this week, by the way, an onion headline that said, Facebook petitions for the breakup of the U.S. government on the grounds it's become too powerful.
Yep.
Right?
I mean, uh-huh. Yeah, brilliant.
It's not wrong.
All right, Drew.
Okay, go ahead.
That
next.
Was an easy one. What's next?
Zoom holiday parties.
Oh, God.
No, I'm not. In point of fact, we're having one next Thursday, and I'm not going. I'm not going.
Yeah. I mean, Zoom meetings are awkward. Zoom happy hours are even more awkward, especially the work kind. And Zoom holiday parties, that just seems kind of sad.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's all apologies to the bosses. I'm with you. I'm half empty here.
Yeah, I'm not going. Yeah, way empty.
Are you half full or half empty on any relief package?
I'm not even half. I'm completely empty. And I
really?
I don't actually believe. Yeah, I am, and I don't believe that. Mitch McConnell. Look, let's be clear, and I'm going to get yelled at about this, but whatever. The House passed a $3-something trillion bill, the HEROES Act, in May. Ever since then, Mitch McConnell has been standing athwart the gates of history saying stop, right? And he says, well, I'll spend like $500 billion on an economy where 20-something million people are getting unemployment benefits. I do not believe that between now and the end of the year, Mitch McConnell, who is a 78-year-old man, is going to change his stripes. I just don't. I'm all the way empty.
I, against all reason and logic, I'm going to go with half full because I just, despite everything that we have seen in the last year, don't want to believe that. Actually, just don't.
Okay.
This is just plain donkey stubbornness here.
You're just putting your head in the sand and going, la, 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 la. Is that what it is?
It's not even that. I just like, I until it is really, truly beaten into my stubborn donkey head, cannot believe that the United States government would abandon the American people to the extent that they're on the precipice of doing. So I will not believe it until I'm poleaxed by it.
All right. Okay.
Not saying I won't
That's such a good
just
word.
Saying,
poleaxed is such a good word.
It's a good one, isn't it?
It is such a good word. Oh, God.
I'm half full on poleaxed, coming back into the vernacular.
Look, Oh, God, I forgot. I was supposed to use the word beclowned on the pod this week. Somebody said they were
I
tweeted the other day. Somebody tweeted something about Republicans beclowning themselves, and I said beclowning is such a good word, and somebody tweeted at me, and oh my God, if you're listening, I'm really sorry, I forgot your handle. They said, I will pay another $100 to Marketplace if you say the word beclowned on Monday. I missed Monday, but look, it's been a long week. So let me just say now, Republicans in the person of Mitch McConnell are beclowning themselves in the relief package for this economy. How about that? Or the 64% of the Republican caucus in the House is beclowning itself in this lawsuit that the Supreme Court just slapped down. Okay. If we can get $100 out of that, I'm game. Anyway.
I think it's worth it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Boom. Okay. What else we got? I've lost track of where we are in the list.
We're like 22 minutes in, but anyway, go ahead.
I got the last one is Hallmark holiday movies.
Oh. Hmm.
Oh. You know, I've never watched one, and I probably never will, but I'm still half full. It's adorable. Keep it coming.
I'm a little conflicted. I have a friend who actually writes those holiday movies. Like in August, he writes them. So I have to be half full. That's kind of the way it is.
Oh.
It's the contract. It's the contract of your friendship. Yeah. Yeah.
I think they seem adorable. And a lot of people love them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Hmm. Great. That's it there for half full, half empty. We're just going to sit here and wait for the emails to roll in. Since, though, we are here drinking together at the end of, God help us, yet another crazy news week, I wanted to take, when has it not been? Do we have like a date when crazy news weeks started? I mean, I guess we do, March 11th, as we've mentioned many times. We do want to take a minute to acknowledge everybody who donates to Marketplace because it's weird for us to keep asking you, and yet you do. And honestly, you make everything that we do possible. All of it.
Yeah, every single one. But look, we're going to be here next year and the year after that and the year after that. So thank you for support and for helping us out and for sticking with us as a community in these crazy, crazy, crazy times. Because what you're doing by supporting us is supporting independent nonprofit journalism and, by the way, facts. That's what we got. That's what it is.
Big facts, as my brother likes to say. And cheers to you. If you haven't donated yet, there's still time. And there's still time to get our super cool face mask, marketplace.org/givesmart. Through the end of the month, everyone who donates gets a face mask. They got the little...
We're back next week.
Comfy.
Last week, by the way, before taking a little break for the holidays, we're going to be off till early, mid-January, I think. In the meantime, as always, questions, comments, makemesmart@marketplace.org. Hook us up. Just waiting.
Yep. There it is. Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Marissa Cabrera. You know, we haven't switched in a while. Let's switch. You take the top.
Tony Wagner is our digital producer. Stephen Bion and Ben Hethcote do video for us. Ethan Parrott is our godlike video intern. Erica Phillips writes our newsletters, puts stuff in the breaking news channel, also does our Make Me Smart skills on our smart devices. Oh, my gosh.
Today's program was engineered by our favorite engineer and co-star, Drew Jostad. Ben Tolliday and Daniel Ramirez composed our theme music, which I think we can all agree is also a co-star of the show. The senior producer is Donna Tam. The executive director of On Demand is Sitara Nieves.
Is it just me, or has Ethan Parrott been here a really long time for an intern?
I asked that question, too. I was like, seriously?
That is a serious question. That is a serious question.
Is this legal?
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.